Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. You can be a part of it. Pretty easy. You call the phone number. Now, a couple weeks ago, we did change the phone number. We did change it. And many of you have that called for a lot. I can say that sentence better. Many of you that called a lot. Yeah, many of you that called a lot. You were able to... I said it enough. You figured it out. I still say it. You figured it out. The first week, I said it a lot, really trying to hammer it home, and now I say it when I say it. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. Let me just make sure that if you type it in to the internet, we may need to update some tweets. Okay, we need to delete a very specific tweet. Alex, do you have access to the Twitter handle?
I do not.
Oh, okay. I'll save this for Carlos. Because I Googled, because this is the other way. So the first week that we got a number refresh, let's say, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I said it a lot because how else are you going to know? I don't think it flashes on any of the radio screens. I don't know how else you know. You know by me saying it. So as long as I've been listening to radio, there's been a couple of different ways you find out the number. You either look it up in a phone book or the person on the radio says it. Or now, for the last 35 years, you look it up on the internet, and when I Google Infinity Sports Network phone number, there are plenty of articles and tweets that say 888-710-4476. So it's great. That works. That's good. However... the first thing that comes up is a tweet from January 11th, 2019, where it's quote tweeting a tweet that has since been deleted, and it says, call the show, eight the other one. And then the last tweet on that is, I am having trouble calling. Well, that would make sense. So, okay, I'm glad that I spent a minute to double check that. And I'm also glad that I did it live on the air to guide you through the journey. Because I'm sure there's been at least one person who has looked up the phone number wanting to call. Oh, this topic. I like that last guy. I got to talk nuggets. Who do I call? He hasn't said the number. I got to wait for it. Oh, I'll type it in. I got an internet. Oh, I got this old one. So I got to get at after that. I don't have access to the Infinity Sportsnet, any of the social media. And that's actually by my request. I don't trust myself with social media after a certain hour. And I told them, please give me no passwords. Please. And they obliged. So I'm very happy about that. My social media, if you do want to see the nightmare that I've concocted over the years, Bart Winkler or Bart Winkler Show on most and many of the platforms of your choosing. I was talking some NBA earlier. Polo has dialed that number in North Carolina.
I got to wait for it. Oh, I'll type it in. I got an internet.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. How
are
you, Mark?
Yep, what's up? All right, that went nowhere. 888-710-4ISN. It could have just been somebody double-checking that the number worked. There's a story that came out today, or yesterday, wherever you are, in the NFL that I was surprised about. And it was from another quote that was given by Katie Blackburn. Now, I got to be honest with you. 2 days ago, I didn't know who Katie Blackburn was. She's a team executive with the Bengals, a vice president. with the Bengals, and she's at these owners' meetings. And we found out who she was this week, if you did not know, because she gave some comments on Trey Hendrickson that Trey Hendrickson then commented on Pat McAfee's show about, hey, man, I didn't like to hear what Katie Blackburn said about my situation. It was a little disheartening. On April Fool's Day, be it, I was hoping it was a joke where they basically said that, you know, mincing words, but Trey Hendrickson should be happy with what we're paying Trey Hendrickson. He's got another year on his deal, $20 million. He wants to make more money, and he also wants an extension. He wants to stay in Cincinnati. Sam Hubbard, for the longest time, has been a captain on that defense. He's retired. Trey Hendrickson wants that mantle. And again, wants more money, but also was an all-pro, and the Bengals' defense is bad, and I don't think this is the time. I think Trey's got a little bit of leverage. I don't think this is the time to... Now, they were that bad with him, true, but how much worse would they be without him? So she was asked about the status of the lease on the stadium, Paycor Stadium. A lot of these stadiums are leased through cities and counties. You saw the city council in St. Petersburg have to agree to pay $20-some million to try to fix the roof at Tropicana. You would think that with how profitable some of these businesses are and these teams are, that they would be able to buy a piece of land and then build a stadium on it. But a lot of times it's a situation where it's leased through the city. I talk before, and I talk a lot about Green Bay, how they'll never move because they're publicly owned and they're not moving. Sometimes the city and the Packers are still kind of chirping at each other over different land things. So it's like the city of Green Bay sometimes is like, nah, I want in on this too. Everybody else is grabbing more money from their team. We have a little bit of an angle. Let's try to do that too. But she was asked about the lease of the stadium, Cincinnati, Paycor Stadium, right on the river, right down the street from where the Reds play. Fun area. Stadium here, stadium there, hotels, bars, restaurants throughout. A couple of museums, great time. Really fun. All right, what's the situation on the lease? Well, she said, we play it day by day, like everything else. We continue to have discussions, see where things are, and then have to make decisions at the appropriate time. Very milquetoast quote. No alarms are being sounded. Nothing crazy. We could, I guess, go wherever we wanted after this year if we didn't pick up the option. She went on to say, excuse me? You could what now? We could, I guess, go wherever we wanted after this year if we didn't pick up the option. They have a lease at Paycor Stadium that's going to expire June 30th, 2026. So that would be next year. The summer of next year. One more season. They have an option to extend it by 2 years, which I think you would hope for longer, on or before June 30th, 2025. I mean, that they got to make that decision before the Bartometer moves to Tuesday nights, which it is moving from Thursdays to Tuesday nights starting in September. We could, I guess, go wherever we wanted after this year if we didn't pick up the option. So, you know, we'll see. Like I said, all these things will be done in due course. We're having a discussion, so we're hopeful that the county is thinking about it too and wants to get it addressed in a way that would be beneficial to the both of us. We love where we are. I did not understand or realize or know that there was this sort of issue. Bengals fans, Cincinnati fans, maybe you were aware of it. Certainly, you have more knowledge of the team than people that are not in the area. But could we be looking at a possible relocation of the Cincinnati Bengals? And she just answered a question that she was asked. But kudos to the reporter for knowing about the situation and feeling that there was not a definite answer, that something needed to be addressed here to ask the question. Now, ultimately, I believe that this, I think that it, why I'm bringing it up is I was just shocked. I was like, you know, you scroll throughout the day, try to find different stories that you think you can give a good opinion on, or you think that would be engaging in a conversation that other people may want to dial up a phone number to see if it works. 888-710-4ISN being this one. And I had no awareness of this. And I was surprised. And I was surprised about like the quickness of it. Could the Bengals move? Could they actually move? Are they going to try to negotiate for something better? Now, it's always like a tug of war between the team and between the city or the state. I think for the most part, what happens is you own a team and you could finance everything on your own, but you don't want to because you don't have to. Because what you own is such a valuable piece of property. That's why John Fisher is able to nomad his team all over the country. There's only 30 of those things. He owns one of 30 things. And it's not just like one of 30, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something valuable, not valuable. I was going to say Pokemon cards, but my God, trying to find those these days. I grew up, my brothers were into it. It didn't get me. And then, you know, one of my nephews was into it like 10 years ago. It didn't seem like it used to be. Now, I guess it's back and bigger than ever. Kids going crazy for Pokemon cards. Which I should have gotten. So I ordered some on eBay that were supposed to be here yesterday. But I think the guy's mad at me because I ordered them. And then he sent me a message. Hey, please leave a 5-star review. And then I said, I don't think I'm gonna now. How about you do the thing and then I'll give the review? Don't be pre-asking for the 5-star. So I got mad. So he might be retaliating at me. Anyway, I don't know. We all could have gone without that story. I understand. But it is the last hour of the show and it's been a long week. So they have something very valuable, and that's these teams. And I don't think Cincinnati, I don't think the Bengals are going to, like, I don't know that there's a better part of town that they would want to play. The downtown is pretty much spoken for. They recently added a soccer stadium, you know, just kind of in that area, which isn't as big, doesn't need the requirements, not really a lot of parking around there either. What the Bengals and the Reds have is an area with, you know, some decent parking. But there's two stadiums, and if you can't park at the Bengals stadium, well, maybe you can go down the street and park in one of the Red lots or where you would park to go to a Reds game at Great American Ballpark. So it's not terrible. There's places to park. So it's not terrible, just thinking of that mode of transportation. So I think what this does is it gets resolved just based on, I'm still shocked that it's even up for debate, but it is another reminder that these teams that we cherish and love, they can leave us at any time, except for Green Bay, because I bought stock. That's why I always say, if forget about me buying, forget about me spending $300 on a piece of paper, forgetting about buying a stock that has no dividends. Would you right now pay $300 to make sure not only your team never moved, but you would never have to deal with the threat of them moving? You would never have to worry. You would never have to listen. You would never have to, like, watch a city council meeting where it's on the agenda if they're going to vote to keep you or not, but they know how important it is, and so they table it to the end of the night. So you're watching all this stuff about right-of-ways and liquor license and funding. It's like, get to that. Do the Brewers get to stay here or not? Get to that part. When's that part coming around? So I was asked that question. And, you know, $300 is a varying amount of money. I don't know that it's, you know, some people can just be like, oh, yeah, $300, I'll give you $3,000. And some people are like, can you give me a couple months? That's fine. That's what I paid. And when I say I paid, I mean my wife got me as a present. Still counts. Stocks in my name. But if I could right now, and, you know, the Brewers, where I'm at in Milwaukee, they have a lease that should last a while, but this ballpark was built. This ballpark was built early 2000s, and other teams have gotten new ballparks since then, like built and gotten new ones. The Rangers, they were in that Arlington park for like a fortnight. But I would find $300. Give me, how many are you going to give me? I'll find $300 to make sure if I pay that, the Brewers will not only stay in Milwaukee forever, but I'll never have to hear about another thing like this. I'll never have to listen to what the lady's name I forgot already said. I want to say Blackburn. Yeah, Katie. I was going to say Marcia. Is that a senator? Yes. I watch too much news is also another thing I can enlighten with you. I was going to say Marcia. It was Katie. Katie Blackburn, team president. Or whatever she is, with all due. But I'd pay. The Bucks just got a new arena not too long ago, but what's the state of that going to be in 20 years? The other arena they had only lasted 35. On a similar topic, the Bears still don't know what they're going to do. They've got Soldier Field. It's right on the lakefront. That's kind of like tougher to get to. It's on the river, like I said, and by river, I mean Lake Michigan. But it's tucked like behind Lakeshore Drive. There's a bunch of museums there. There's a nice little marina. Get the planetarium, field museum, shed aquarium, all that stuff. But it's like downtown, but it's also not. And they don't have a lot of they don't have rights to a lot of the land around it. And that's what's becoming a big push for a lot of these teams. They want more say in the, not just the stadium, but the area. Because you can't always make your money on the stadium if you co-own it, but you can make money if you own the land around it. So they've bought land in Arlington Heights. And if Soldier Field is just off of downtown, let's say, Arlington Heights, I mean, Arlington Heights is, we're getting up to Wisconsin. Nah, not quite. But it is on the north end of the Chicago suburbs. And then you hit Waukegan, and then boom, you're in Kenosha. So I think there's some people that don't want that. I think there's a lot of Bears. It just depends where you live if you want that or not. But why the Bears are interested in it is because then they can build a whole entertainment district similar to what Cleveland is looking at doing, where they've got their stadium downtown on the water also. But they want to go and get their own spot with their own district closer to the airport. So the Bears, they're in the news because it looked like they were going to go Arlington Heights. Then the team declared they are going to build a stadium south of Soldier Field. So they were back onto the Soldier Field spot, or at least, you know, right there. They would have to take down some of the parking, but there's a little room you can tuck it in, I suppose. But now they say Arlington Heights is back on the table. But now they're focusing on both. So they're dating two girls at once here. and you're splitting your time and you're splitting your resources. So I don't know how much money they're going to sink into both, but eventually, you know, unless they want to build two stadiums and play four games on the north side of Chicago and four games near the Navy Pier, you know, the Green Bay Packers for like 30 years played five games in Green Bay and three in Milwaukee. These cities are 2 hours apart. Where the Brewers play and where the Cubs play is closer than where the Packers played in Milwaukee and the Packers played in Green Bay. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but that is interesting. That is another interesting note. Interesting Bartometer tonight, which I believe the Bartometer nailed. Open to as little criticism as possible. Maybe at the back end, but I do think the Bartometer, I think we're perfecting this artificial intelligence. Quarterbacks acquired since 2020. I'll refresh you on that. Talk a little more football. 888-710-4ISN. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. If you are new to the show, like just knew this just came on after whatever you were listening to, or you are lost in a desert and, hey, this station came in. My name is Bart Winkler. Every Thursday, I do something called the Bartometer. And for most people, like, it's just a fun, wacky segment where, you know, I rank things and, you know, you're like, ah, this is kind of funny. It's like a Bartometer. It's like a machine. But what you don't know is that I actually built a machine. I actually did. It is with me right now. I take it. I store it in my home. I bring it in on Thursday nights. And through artificial intelligence, LOL, I know, so clever, I didn't even come up with it. But through artificial intelligence, it ranks and settles a bunch of different arguments. So it settles arguments for me. Instead of us arguing about things and debating things, it gives us the definitive list. And what's great is afterwards, we can then argue and debate, but it doesn't matter because the Bartometer gave us the definitive list. So the list that it gave us tonight, which it does on Thursdays at 11 p.m. Eastern, that'd be 8 p.m. Pacific. And I should warn everybody that it is moving. The Bartometer's moving. Yeah, we're moving it to Tuesdays because we don't want to interfere with Thursday night football. But that doesn't happen for a while, so we're moving it to Thursdays on September 2nd. So I think we're going to promote the move of this Bartometer for a longer duration than I think I've been in this time slot. No, it's been a minute. What we ranked tonight was best quarterback acquisitions since 2000. So any quarterback that was acquired by a team, and they don't have to be on there currently, but any quarterback that was acquired by a team since 2000 via draft, free agency, trade, or otherwise, but I don't think there is an otherwise. So typically we go in reverse order. Right now I'm going to give it to you in order 1 through 8, because I think where there's more room for interpretation might be towards the end. We talked about this a little, but Tom Brady, him signing with the Buccaneers as a free agent, winning a Super Bowl, spending a few years there, and then putting the Buccaneers in a good spot where Baker could come in and they're still competitive. Tom Brady, it's Tom Brady. Tom Brady, we could talk about his Super Bowls all we want. The Buccaneers are part of that story. You can't ignore it. He won a Super Bowl with them. Sometimes quarterbacks end different places. We saw Manning do it too. You don't really remember that unless they win a Super Bowl. Then you're forced to. So Tom Brady to Tampa was number one, free agency. Jalen Hurts was number two. Jalen Hurts, drafted second round in 2020, has been to two Super Bowls, an MVP, and could have been an MVP in the losing one. Jalen, I would think that after another successful year, you could start to consider him as number one in this list, especially if they go back to another Super Bowl. I mean, for sure, if they win it. But with him being drafted behind Tua and Herbert and Jordan Love and Burrow, and then having the most success, Jalen Hurts is number two. Matthew Stafford was acquired by the Rams in a trade, number three. Super Bowl. Brock Purdy drafted, listen to every quarterback drafted above Brock Purdy. So this is the 2022 NFL draft. Purdy, of course, has been to a Super Bowl. He's 23-13 as a starter, 4-2 in the postseason. Kenny Pickett was drafted by the Steelers, then to the Eagles, now with the Browns. He's on his third team. He was the first quarterback taken in that draft. Desmond Ridder went from Atlanta to Arizona. Malik Willis went from Tennessee to Green Bay. Matt Corral, I believe, is in the UFL. Bailey Zappe is not with the Patriots. He might be on his third team. He spent some time with Cleveland, I want to say, in their carousel. So Bailey Zappe has been with New England and Cleveland. Chiefs practice squad before that. He's come back to join them. Sam Howell, Chris Oladukun, and Skylar Thompson. None of these guys are with their original team. But Brock Purdy is, and he was not only the last quarterback taken in the draft, he was the last quarterback taken, he was the last player taken in the draft. Pretty remarkable. It's pretty amazing. So Brock Purdy came in at number four tonight. Number five was Joe Burrow, got him to a Super Bowl, number one overall in 2020. Jared Goff completes the trade. He's at six. So I think the top six, and if you want to fudge with an order, okay. But best quarterback acquisition since 2020, Tom Brady, Jalen Hurts, Matthew Stafford, Brock Purdy. Tom Brady, Jalen Hurts, Matthew Stafford, Brock Purdy, Joe Burrow, Jared Goff. Those are top six. I think for the next two, you could maybe open it up for debate. What the Bartometer gave us was number seven is Jaden Daniels. So Jaden Daniels, second overall pick. Certainly the Commanders didn't have to choose between him or Caleb Williams, but they had to choose between him and Drake May and J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix and Bo Nix. So they had a decision to make. They made a good one. I mean, he had a great year. Threw for 3,500 yards, 24 touchdowns, ran for 1,100 yards, 11 scores. Has helped change the culture, has helped locked in the Commanders' sort of identity, and is a great recruiting tool for people that are like, hey, I want to go to a team that has a chance to win, but I still kind of feel like I want to get on the ground floor of something. Why not go play with this electrifying talent? Daniels is at seven. Sam Darnold is at eight. Now, just 1 year, and it ended very poorly. But for now, where he has set the Vikings up, I think is a big deal. The Vikings, had they not signed him, or had they signed him and he'd been bad, J.J. McCarthy gets hurt, and I don't know where you're going to turn. You can only give Jalen Hall so many chances. And by Jalen Hall, I mean Jaren Hall, the quarterback out of BYU that I just panic looked up. But Sam Darnold, 14 wins, got him to a playoff, and now has put the Vikings in a good position where J.J. McCarthy can step in and do well. Now, he's still got to perform, so big question as to what he looks like. So far, a lot of these rookies have looked pretty decent. Even guys we thought were struggling at the beginning. Remember the victory laps, people that were doubting Bo Nix, me, were taking after a month? Well, he turned out to be pretty good. And Sam Darnold leaving in free agency the way he did, that's going to set the Vikings up for most likely a third-round pick, compensatory, next season. So the question is, like, Jaden Daniels and Sam Darnold, do any of those guys deserve not to be on the list? Who would replace them? Geno Smith to Seattle. Well, that doesn't count. No, because he was there. Yeah, he was there. He became a starter, but he was in Seattle for a while, so forget that one. Geno Smith to the Raiders, I guess. You know, we'll see. Baker Mayfield joining Tampa could maybe be on the list because he followed Tom Brady and has them in a pretty good spot still. He hasn't, you know, really, he hasn't crashed the plane, which I thought of a better analogy, but he hasn't done that. last year's rookies, I don't know, like Jaden Daniels, I think, should be ahead of any of the other rookies. Caleb Williams, there's a lot of potential. So if we redo this list in 2 years, yeah. Caleb could be on there. Bo Nix could be on there. Drake May could be on there. Michael Penix Jr. could be on there. I think somebody, so Justin Herbert has been a good acquisition, but they really haven't had a lot of success. He's a guy who is better than what the team produces, we would think. Jordan Love had a MVP half of a season. Last year dealt with injuries. I wouldn't put him ahead of either of these guys yet. Certainly has the chance. This list as it stands could look quite different after next year. If Jordan Love or Justin Herbert win a Super Bowl, well, then they go all the way up to they go all the way up to like 3 or 4 if they win a Super Bowl next year. And then the other guy who I think a lot of people would say is, you know, there's the draft with Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, and Stroud played so well, has gotten them to the playoffs a couple of times. But I you know, Jaden got him farther, and I think there's more potential there. So again, the Bartometer tonight was ranking best quarterback acquisitions since 2020. Tom Brady 1, Jalen Hurts 2, Matthew Stafford 3, Brock Purdy 4, Joe Burrow 5, Jared Goff 6, Jaden Daniels 7, and Sam Darnold coming in at 8. No Baker, no Stroud, no Love, no Herbert. I'm glad you did not see. I jumped. I moved my head like I was going to get punched. But I like it. Always good to hear from Perloff. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710. Now I got like my guard up. 4476. Let's get an update from Marco Belletti.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. All of this discussion throughout the night. And really glossing over, mentioned it once, but glossing over the massive news of the day. Talking about these quarterback acquisitions since 2020. Could Joe Milton III be on this list? If Joe Milton got traded to any other team, it would be like, oh yeah, good for him. He had that really nice game in week 18. He came in and started and for New England. That was awesome. That was cool. Good. Where's he going? The Raiders. Oh, nice, nice. Backup Geno. Where's he going? The Ravens. Oh, cool, cool, cool. Where's he going? Jacksonville. Oh, neat, neat, neat. Where's he going? The Cowboys? Whoa, whoa. The Cowboys. Do you think he'll challenge Dak Prescott? Do you think the Cowboys will trade Dak Prescott? Do you mean the guy who's got the most untradeable contract in the league? And who also, by the way, and this really grinds my gears, I don't know where he ranks. But I'll tell you this right now. And I'm speaking to every single person. Wherever you rank Dak Prescott, you are ranking him at least 3 spots too low. That's my thought. That's my thought. There are weeks he plays like a top 5 guy, no question. Now, is he that? I don't know. Where do I rank him? Not even going to say. All I'm saying is I know you rank him 3 spots too low. He's not getting moved because of Joe Milton. Okay? But he did get traded to the Cowboys, who also, interestingly enough, do not retain Trey Lance services, at least have not up to this point, and probably won't, but they trade a 4th-round pick for him, which is not as shameful as trading 3 first-rounders to get him, like John Lynch and the Niners did, but more people clown Jerry Jones for his trade than they do for John Lynch. explain it to me like I'm 40 because that's how old I am, and I still don't understand it. A couple of other news and notes in the NFL today. Adam Schefter was on ESPN when he had this little nugget to share about a contract extension for Trey McBride.
All right, Lauren, moments ago, the Arizona Cardinals reached agreement with tight end Trey McBride, making him the highest paid tight end in NFL history, a new benchmark deal, 4 years, $76 million, including $43 million guaranteed. That's a $19 million per year average, which becomes the new threshold for tight ends.
Trey McBride, he's been with the Cardinals for 3 years. First year, 29 grabs, 265 yards and a score. I believe Zach Ertz was there at the time. And then taking over 81 grabs for 825 yards and three touchdowns in 2023. Last year, by far his best. 16 games, 111 catches, 1,146 yards. But only two touchdowns. He's only got six career touchdowns. He's got 221 catches, only six career touchdowns. So he'll look to improve on that. He could use a little more help from Kyler Murray, I would think, but certainly deserving. I think when you look at tight ends, Kelce is still a beast. You know, a little older. Kittle, I thought, was maybe washed, and he rejuvenated himself. He respawned last year. And Brock Bowers, I think you're going to get into a situation where it's Brock and Trey for the best tight ends in the league. And Brock Bowers will eventually, you would think, break this contract. But we've seen good tight ends come and go. Darren Waller and that 1 year Marcus Colston was a wide receiver, but everybody was able to put him as a tight end in fantasy football. Elsewhere in the league, Geno Smith signed an extension. So the Raiders traded for him with the idea and the, you know, they wanted to extend him. This is not a surprise, but they traded for him first, and now they got to extend him. Pete Carroll on Sirius XM, happy to have this guy for the next few years.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that for the organization and for my own, you know, want to win and all that. He can win, and he's a good player. He really cares. He's so competitive. I know him so well and really love the kid, you know. And we went through, you know, you have a guy stay with you for 4 years not playing, and he wants to play in the worst way, and it burns in his heart, but he hung with us, you know. And, he, you know, finally all the things happened so that he got the start, and he's done great.
Contractually, he's with the Raiders now through 2027. Obviously, they could always pivot and move on, but that's how long Pete Carroll signed for, also with an option. But if you're going to go with Pete Carroll and Geno, you might as well lock in Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. Now, his average annual salary is, it makes him the 17th highest paid quarterback in football. So it's a 2 year, $75 million extension. Well, Schefter reporting 2 years, 85. With 66 in guaranteed money. But if you look at it, 17th is where he ranks. If I said, where should Geno be paid? You would probably say 17th. Now, I will say with Dak, I think you rate him lower than he is, but he should not be the highest paid quarterback. I will agree with you on that one. And Ben Roethlisberger on the Pat McAfee show today. I think McAfee took a break from completely ruining young women's lives based on rumors, to interview Ben Roethlisberger, and he thinks Rodgers is not going to the Steelers.
But I think Aaron secretly, again, just my opinion, I think Aaron is secretly still holding out for Minnesota, which is why he hasn't signed with the Steelers. Why else would you not? Why else would you go throw with DK and be working out and put it out, blast everybody that I'm throwing to these guys, but you won't sign? So I just think he's holding out for Minnesota.
You think he's really going to go try to complete the Brett Favre Infinity Gauntlet?
I just think he thinks that Minnesota is a more complete, closer team to win a Super Bowl.
Which he is right, but I don't know that that's Aaron Rodgers' decision. For the 3 millionth time, I believe Rodgers signs with the Steelers, and I believe he puts that off as long as possible. Look, he's getting work in with DK Metcalf. He's going to try to do things like this. But if the moment he signs, the moment he has to give himself to Mike Tomlin, here's our playbook, you're with me now, my rules, don't miss minicamp. But if he doesn't sign, he can like tangentially. He could be off to the side and be a Steeler without being a Steeler, and then swoop in August when he's ready. And then claim like, oh, I don't have time to learn the playbook. I just think if the Vikings wanted him, they would have him. And if you're waiting to know what the complete diagnosis is with McCarthy, I don't know. I feel like if you were going to miss 3 weeks of McCarthy, you would have just signed Daniel Jones as a stopgap. You're not bringing in Rodgers for that. Thanks for listening. I'll have another show tomorrow. I will probably open the show by saying I should have took today off. I've had a busy week. I've gone to 2 different baseball games, and tomorrow, Friday, I'm going to a third. I'm driving an hour and a half south to do it to meet Carlos Ortiz at Wrigley Field for the Cubs home opener in the rain, and then come back here and deliver a fine program for all of you. And I do it out of love. Thanks to Alex Azarm and Evan Harkin for being here. Marco Belletti on the updates. Everybody stick around. Pat Boyle is coming up next on the Infinity Sports Network. Pat Boyle, next.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.